They're still just in front, the Australians. The Italians are coming at them hard. 50 metres to row, a chaotic finish. But yes, the Australians, yes, hold on. The Australians have done it. The Australians have done it. The gold medal is coming home. There they are. Alexander Purnell, Spencer Turin, Jack Hargraves, Alexander Hill. We have a new awesome foursome. The Australians giving it everything. Just in front. Netherlands not getting there yet. Still Australia marginally in front. It's Netherlands trying ever so hard, but the Australians are holding on and win gold. What a performance. Australia gold, Netherlands second. And in third, Ireland, Great Britain fourth. What a magnificent performance by Stephen, Popper, Morrison and McIntyre.
And what a day it has been, Fletch. If it involves water, it has been very, very good to Australia so far, hasn't it?
We have been flying. Lucky we're an island.
Yes,
world's we biggest are. Island.
Yes, we certainly are. By the way, so the men's and women's fours picked up the golds, and the men's and women's quad sculls picked up the bronze. Now, a man who knows all about picking up the gold, he did it at two Olympics, 1992 at Barcelona, did it again in 1996. He's going to join us very, very shortly. His name is Nick Green, but I'm pleased to say most of our listeners will know him for the golds, but they'll all know him for this.
Groven Valley gold, luscious fruits now exotic.
Oh, yeah. What a gold medal is worth. I'm pleased to say Nick's on the line. G'day, Nick.
Stop it. I'm going down memory lane. Fantastic.
What do you expect the guys and the girls now? They'll be getting lucrative sponsors coming. What did you see some of the sponsors jumping out of the woodwork, Nick?
Well, I do remember when we first crossed the line, 1992, so many, many years ago, we didn't have a sponsor. We were an amateur sport. We had no idea the commercial side. And there was someone there from, I think it was a car company wanting to sponsor us. And we were talking to a manager back in Australia. So we rang them at 3 a.m. and said, right, if you want to be our manager, here's your first phone call. And over you go. And it just happened to be Frank Williams at IMG, who was handling Greg Norman at the time. And he dumped us and stayed with Greg Norman. But that's another matter. But no. I was lucky enough to call the race with Channel 7. So, great privilege to me. Yes, I raced many, many years ago. But to call the race, one for the men, you know, and the British crew had won the gold medal for the past 5 consecutive Olympic Games. And I was very keen for Australia to take the title back. And the women's crew, it's the first time the Coxless 4 for many, many years has been raced at the Olympic program. So Aussies come out and win that. Just an emotional day for those in the rowing community and for those obviously athletes, but great for Australia.
And the opportunity not only to see the gold medal, Nick, but to call alongside who I think is going to be ultimately retire as a champion of sport when it comes to commentary, Matthew Hill. What's it like to call with Matty?
We get on really well. Although listening to your commentary, I couldn't get a word in because he was hogging the camera, the microphone. No, that's not true. We blend really well. It's just fantastic working with someone who's such a professional. I know nothing about broadcast and commentary. I just add in my bits and pieces as I see them from a sport point of view. But it's great. You know, even though I hadn't competed for a long time, you know, it's a great way to be involved and feel connected to the sport and to the athletes. The awesome foursome, we celebrated our 25th anniversary from our 1996 Olympic Games yesterday. So as we were preparing and messaging each other for today, we were going, all the omens were coming together.
Yeah.
And we all believed it was about time the Aussies took back the title, which they did. So they'll be pleased. And I know, that they've had a great history, that they've been, following and those young guys and girls. So, I'm so pleased for them that they've just taken over the mantle.
Hey, Nick, in the men's, the Great Britain side, the Great Britain team, the awesome foursome, well, they're not very awesome. They came in and they sort of were coming on an angle. Looks like they were, did they ever case the Italians for a protest? And how does that work? Is it like horse racing? Well, they've got to go to stewards and stuff?
Well, at the end of the day, the British crew and the Italian crew didn't clash, right? So the British, the Italian team who came third, I don't think had put in a protest. But One of the things the Australians were trying to do, so because the British are trying to defend their Olympic title, and one of the trademark to the Aussies was to go out hard and put all the pressure on the opposition to chase them, and that's what they did. And I think the British crew just found the pace too hard, and so as they were trying to really wind for the last 200 metres, there's the bow side rowers and the stroke side rowers were completely out of time, and it just pulled the boat across the course and nearly hit the Italians. Now that would have been an interesting protest if they clashed, but luckily they didn't. And pleasingly for us Aussies, the British crew didn't win a medal, so that was fantastic.
Yes,
we are speaking with Nick Green, two-time gold medalist at the Olympics. Now, Nick, I've got to ask this question because Ash Barty, who won Wimbledon last month, and you know the whole country got around Ash, but we know Ash and she's on the front page and we'd already heard the Ash story. Same can be said for the AFL and the National Rugby League when there's a premiership that's won or a State of Origin series. But as for rowing or maybe even in the pool with Ariane and the likes, your life goes from reasonably being unknown to just bang, massive, massive news and all the media commitments and everything that you've been through. The family get dragged along for the ride as well. How do you explain that, and how does that affect your life?
Well, I think the message went for the Olympic gold medalists, because they'll go into this race hoping to win the gold medal. They've come out of it winning the gold medal. And I remember, 25 years ago, it was formative in our lives. We were completely unknowns. There's no social media. Yes, we were on the front page of the newspapers and the television broadcast many years ago. And we came back to Australia. We were household names, and we were just amateur athletes doing our thing part time. We didn't get paid for it. You do it for the passion of it, and you come back and have this notoriety. And I think it'll be a bit different. But my encouragement for these athletes is to embrace and enjoy every single moment that's going to come towards them, and they won't know what it is. But so many things, so many doors will open up, and just enjoy it, embrace it, and accept the terminology that they are Olympic champions. And I think it'll take them a long time to realise the enormity of what they've achieved, whether they're rowers, whether they're swimmers, or any other athletes who win medals. Take the time and enjoy it, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime of this sort of celebration that will happen.
So, Nick, in most sports, Joel and I sports rugby league, we have reunions every so often, like the big 5, 10, 15 year reunions. What happens in your sport, especially in Olympic sport? Do you guys ever have reunions where all the gold medal winners get to hang out, or just Olympic athletes ever get to hang out 4 or 5 years, 10 years down the track?
Not so much the Olympic team or even the sport. But from my rowing team, the Awesome Foursome, we definitely celebrate the reunions when we can, and we celebrate them probably like most sports, as loud and as hard as we possibly can. Though we did, some milestones that have happened in the last 2 or 3 years, none of us have been able to celebrate and get together, and so Zoom meetings and everything else sort of happens. But one of the things I'd really love to do now that the rowing, the men's and women's fours have won the gold medal, how do we bring them together with maybe the older generation, so we can feel good about ourselves and passing on our congratulations to the young athletes. But I think we'll mark this time and work out how all the fours can get together and celebrate the occasion. But we definitely do. Like every sport, we should go back and reflect on the mateships and the friendships and the good times and the challenging times we've all had to, and the joys that sport have brought all of us. And they've been wonderful opportunities for me, and loved every second of it.
Nick, Fletch and I, like most sports that people participate in, we would do cross training, and when they brought the rowing machine I hated it. I found it so bloody hard. And the reason I bring that up, Gian Rooney we had on yesterday, and Gian told me that 15 years since she had finished participating, she had not swum a single lap since retiring for swimming. Not swum a single lap. And the brutality of how hard rowing is. Have you done something similar? Have the moment you retired, have you stopped rowing, or you still like to get amongst it? Where are you at with it?
No, I'm not probably the same as Gian. I weaned myself off rowing pretty quickly. I love being active, so I'm very active on a daily basis on various things. But I think once you do the sport at such a high level, if you're ever going back to the sport recreationally, I was with Ian Thorpe in the Channel 7 studios, and I remember him talking about, he's never gone back to swim just socially because, if you do, there's this expectation that you want to, you want to be the best, you want to train hard, you want to have the same feeling as you do as an athlete. So usually a lot of past Olympic athletes choose sports that they didn't do while they were still competing. So I do remember, when you talk about cross training, when we were training, you know, if it was windy or there was good surf, we'd either go windsurfing or go surfing as part of our cross training. So one of the things we tried to do is, you know, is enjoy a whole lot of different sports and why we were still competing. And we had to slow down a little bit because we were sort of hurting ourselves when we were playing basketball and a few other things. So, but in terms of rowing, no, I stay away from it as an active participant, but following my daughters have all rowed, so I'll be following them on the riverbank as a proud parent, which they find a bit tough, mind you, having me follow them. But anyway,
so Nick, these the boys and the girls, tell us, will they be able to all stay together and go for the Olympics again in Paris? Are they all that sort of around the same age?
I think it's because the sport is so demanding from your time and your energy level. I think sometimes a lot of athletes either get to one or get to two Olympics and either go, you know, I've got to get on with my life. Most of the athletes don't earn any money, and so they require, you know, the handout, I suppose, from their sport or any other part-time jobs they can get to sort of make ends meet. And most of the time they relocate themselves to a particular site. So the men train in Canberra, the women train in Penrith and Sydney. And so I think they look at this, their balance of life, and going, do I want to continue on with that pursuit of excellence as an athlete, or do I want to stop and maybe reflect on what I've done and get on with my life? So each athlete will make their own choice. But the Olympic team, generally, the average age of the athlete are, you know, in their mid to late 20s. And that's sort of generally the age of the sport. But I think, a lot of the athletes we saw, while it's been a massive build-up, this is their first Olympic Games. Rosie Popper, one of the female athletes who won the gold medal, both her mother and father rode for Australia in the 1984 Olympic Games, and both separately won bronze medals, and now she's got the gold medal. Now, she might want to continue on and keep it as a great family tradition to go to multiple Olympics, but they'll choose. They'll stop and have a bit of a rest because it's been a huge build-up for every single athlete. Stop and have a rest, and then it's only 3 years till the next Olympics, so they can't really rest for too long, and they'll make a decision on what they want to do soon after.
Yeah, well said. We have to hit the news, Nick, but before you go, and because we'd have no idea, you've been involved in 8 Olympics, having won gold at two of them, a chef de mission, all those sorts of things. For those who don't know, Ariane Titmus, those gold medals, if you had to equate that to money, what would that mean financially? Now, honestly, what would that mean to her having won those gold medals, do you think?
Well, for the athlete, they're priceless, of course. From Ariane, you know, and not every gold medalist has made some money out of their sport in terms of having the marketability. And I think that's important. You know, not everyone has got a good team around them. Not everyone has the personality that the public likes or can tell a story. In the swimming, you know, we've had some great successful athletes from, you know, Thorpe to Kieran Perkins to Grant Hackett, who've all been able to commercialise their success. I don't know what her commercial value would be, but I dare say, she's a terrific role model. She represents herself and her family very well. I think the public will be drawn to her. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see her commercialise on those opportunities. And that's not definitely not her priority, and she'll probably put in a professional team to manage that. And so she can do what she's very good at, and that is swimming fast.
Well answered, Nick. I think you were trying to say shit loads, but anyway.
Yeah, but pretty much, yeah.
Hey, Nick, we appreciate your time, mate, and keep up the great work on Channel 7.
Thanks, guys.